Today on Real Radio.
I've had this argument both on this side of the Atlantic and on the other side. I'm a son of Abraham. Do you believe in the Messiah? No. Well, the Bible says if you don't have the Son, you can't have the Father. The Bible says if you don't know the Father, you can't know the Son.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in the second to the last chapter of this New Testament epistle, and Pastor Jack's delivering a multi-part series taken from the first 11 verses of that section, chapter 15. Now, if there's ever a passage that really kind of boils down the gospel and makes it easy to understand, well, this is it. The series is called What Will Happen to You When You Die? Obviously, it's one of the most important questions to face in any lifetime. To ignore that question, well, it's just plain foolish. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called What Will Happen to You When You Die?
There are people who are destroying the Bible and burning the Bible and saying that the Bible is nothing. And look, none of you are moved by that, and so you shouldn't be. Did you know if people came in today and took all of our Bibles and burnt them, we would say, well, doggone it, that wasn't nice, but now I got to go buy a new one. If our Bible goes up in flames, it doesn't destroy our salvation. Do you understand that? This is the vehicle of God to bring us to the knowledge of God's will for our lives. We do not worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. Okay, there are those who have certain religious cults that actually worship the book, and if the book goes up in flames, their God has been defeated. That's not true for us. Why? He's eternal. He comes from eternity. And the message is eternal. The gospel is eternal. That's why when somebody knocks on your door and says, we've got another testament to tell you, why would you have that to tell me when the gospel's eternal? It's God's plan throughout the ages. In fact, the Bible says of itself that the gospel was God's plan before it was ever even revealed to man. It was waiting to come, waiting to arrive. And the Bible makes it very clear. His message has come from eternity. In fact, listen to this. I love this verse. You've heard me say it before. In fact, I like, when I speak at prophecy conferences, I like to use this verse in many openings for Bible prophecy conferences because people think, oh, good, we're at a Bible prophecy conference. We're going to dissect and we're going to differentiate between the toes of Daniel's statue. And hey, the greatest prophetic eschatological promise ever given in scriptures in Genesis 3. Verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed, that is Satan's offspring. Yes, he has offspring. Freaky, huh? And her seed, the child that would eventually come from Eve, he shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. That is a prophetic announcement of salvation, the gospel. Where does the gospel first appear? Genesis chapter 3, 15. Is that awesome? If anybody wants to mess around with you and give you a new gospel, forget about it. Forget about it. Take them back to Genesis 3, 15. There's the gospel. The Messiah will come. That's why it's a capital S in your Bible as seed. The message has come, but the message has always been. You see, Jack, I want to talk to you about that. I have an argument with you and your God. In fact, that's cool. In Isaiah 1:18, this is a bonus verse. It's not in my notes. Isaiah 1:18 says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And the word in Hebrew is, let's argue. You think you're such hot stuff, huh? You want to take on God? God says, amen. He just rolls up the sleeves of his robe and says, come on, you want a piece of me? Let's argue, you and I. Bring forth your case. Give me your best shot. Why do you not believe in me? Why do you not trust me? Why do you not embrace my gospel? And you're going to vomit your excuses, and he's going to say, write back an answer. He's going to give you, well, this, and because of that, and this or the other, and you're going to stand there, and I would stand there naked with no defense. And it's amazing because God doesn't win arguments to beat you up. God wins arguments to embrace your soul. Anybody want to argue with me? I mean, come on. Guys, I'm only talking to the guys right now. The first reaction for a man is, I'm going to punch you out. And then I remember, I'm a Christian. I can't punch him out. I don't have that liberty. So Lord, forgive me for the thought. And then when the Spirit of God takes over, it's, wait a minute. This person needs the love of God in their life. This person needs to see a good witness. You can pray for me Wednesday. I'm going to be debating someone on Canadian broadcasting. They picked the fight with our God and then threw me in on it. The Atlantic News, the Atlantic, it's a publication on the East Coast, got all upset with me doing the Worldview series on Wednesday nights about environmentalism. First of all, why were they even listening? And I started getting emails from the East Coast saying, hey man, they're getting all upset with you. Do you see this article? And so then the phone rings and they say, we want to talk to you. We're going to have somebody debate you. I said, well, on what? On what the Bible has to say. I said, come on. So you pray. It's, I think, East Coast time, West Coast. It's 5:30 a.m. California time. But you be praying, okay, that God would just bless that thing. Why? Here's the cool part. I just need to show up. I just need to show up. Why? Because God's the one who argues. It's not us. We just stand in the truth. Point number two is this, or the second argument is this. What will happen to you when you die? Do you know the message? Number two, do you know his righteousness? From beyond eternity, his righteousness stands. Oh boy, our culture needs to hear this. Hollywood needs to hear this. Churches need to hear this. God is righteous. What does that word righteous mean? It means that God always does the right thing. Righteous is to do the right thing. God cannot do anything but the right thing. Remember that when you're reading your Bible or when you're thinking or when you're praying. If you don't understand something about God, just pause, take a deep breath, and default to the nature of God until you have your question answered. What is that? God is righteous. We've lost sight of righteousness in the church today. Pulpits don't fear the righteousness of God much today. Christians think that God is the big good buddy maybe up in the sky. He's my pal. He's my good old chum. No, he's not. He is God, the righteous one, the Bible says. Romans 3:21 says, but now the, love it, mark it, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. My friends, that verse, honestly, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not kidding. That portion of Romans 3:21, just right there, where that comma ends, you and I could spend the rest of our life meditating and studying what that means. I'll give you a hint. The righteousness of God means there is no, hello, listen, there is no other righteousness God will accept but the righteousness which is of God. Do you think you're going to get to heaven by your good works? No. Who says? God says. It is the righteousness of God himself that God accepts. That's serious. Apart from the law. You know what that means? That by the keeping of the law, you cannot get into heaven. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that means the law and the prophets are saying, listen to this. Even the righteousness of God through faith, that's how you get it. In Jesus Christ, that's the object, to all and on all who believe. Isn't that wild? If you have faith in Jesus Christ based upon who he is, you receive the righteousness of God. Who says? God says. That is the gospel. Galatians 3:6 tells us, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. This is a great argument, you guys, because if you're Jewish this morning, and I've had this argument both on this side of the Atlantic and on the other side, is I'm Jewish, I'm going to heaven. What do you believe? I'm a son of Abraham. Do you believe in the Messiah? No. Well, the Bible says if you don't have the Son, you can't have the Father. The Bible says if you don't know the Father, you can't know the Son. Proverbs 30 verse 4 says God has a son. Psalm 2 says God has a son. What do you know about that? Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says God has a son. Isaiah 9 6 says God has a son. Isaiah 7 14 says God has a son. Zechariah 9 9 says God has a son. All bonus verses not on the screen, so don't even look at the screen. What are you looking at the screen for? The Bible says God has a son. And you would say, oh, no, I'm a son of Abraham. Based on what? You can't say you keep the law because you don't, you know it. Well, but I try, but I fail. Okay, then what's your blood sacrifice? Because that's commanded. Oh, I don't have one. So then what? I do good works and I'm circumcised. So I'm a child of Abraham. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have to believe that God has provided all the righteousness that comes from his Son at the cross when Jesus died, and then to empower what he did, he rose from the grave. How awesome is that? God is righteous. Romans 4:22. And therefore, it was accounted to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake. I'm going to give you a tip off. When I come to the end of this verse, will you shout amen like you were going to anyway? Now, it was not written for his sake only that it was imputed to him, that is Abraham, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Amen.
That is the gospel. It is incredible. It's awesome. Number three, from beyond eternity, his love is revealed. What comes to mind when you think of the love of God? I can tell you this, it's too short, it's too small, it's not enough when you think about the love of God. You and I can think about it so much, but we can't grasp it. We can't take it all in. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Okay, stop right there. Without the love of God in our lives, that ain't possible. But because we're believers, look, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's the second time he said that in those few verses. In this, the love of God was revealed, manifest, made known toward us. Well, how? In what way? That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Do you know what a great way of understanding that statement is? That we might live through him? Watch this. I do no damage to that statement when I say this. That we might live through him because he has us to live through in this world. How are people going to know the love of God? What's it going to fall out of a fog bank? Is it going to descend from a balloon? It's going to come from you, from me. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Ephesians 5, 2 says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. What a holy, beautiful thing. Listen to this. His love has been revealed from beyond eternity because God is love. It comes out of him. Now, you and I need love. Did you know that that's one of the profound truths of our human existence? Someone would say, what are the things that man needs to sustain life? And we think about all these things and we most often define it wrong. But I mean, obviously you need air. You need food at some point, water at some point. But you can even have all the food and water in the world. If you don't have love, if you're not loved by someone, you're going to suffer some serious consequences. Did you know that? God made us relational creatures. I know, you know, we often think, I don't need anybody. Only a profound, insecure person will say such a falsehood. Yeah, we do. When we walk with God, the Bible says, we walk in His love and we walk with Him. Christianity is not easy. True Christianity is not easy. Because we're living in a, listen, we're invading, as a believer, we're invading hostile territory. This world's lost, man. We've been deployed into a dangerous, dark world. And what's our target? Souls that Satan has blinded, who he wants to cart off into hell. And so we are on enemy territory, enemy-occupied territory. But we walk with God. You guys, a week ago from today, we were on vacation, and it was the first vacation we had a chance to take as a family together. And so we had our granddaughter with us. And it was so cool because we're walking on the beach, and she's my little beach buddy. Everybody else wanted to sleep in, but she didn't want to sleep in. She'd get up early, and I'd be up waiting for her to wake up. She'd get up, and we'd sneak out, and we'd go to the beach. And we'd walk along the beach. And it was so cool because you know what? Last week she discovered it, almost 2 years of age, she discovered her footprints. And in the wet sand, she's walking, and then she looked down and she saw her footprints in the sand, and then the water would come up and take them away, and she'd look back to see, where'd they go? And then she would do it again, and it would happen again, and then we were walking, and she's really having a ball with her footprints, and she's looking at my footprints, and then as we kept walking, I noticed she was trying to step in my footprints. And in walking in the sand, it was a little bit unstable for her because she's 23 months. But as soon as she figured out that, hey, this papa of mine has taken his 210 pounds ahead of me and has compacted the sand in his footsteps so that if I step in his footsteps, it sure goes a lot easier. And so what she had to do, she put her arms out to balance herself. And to make the stride, she put her foot in my footprints. And it was amazing because her footprints, both of ours, at that moment, you could only see my footprints because her little 28 pounds, whatever she is, didn't even make a dent in my 200 plus pounds. And so she was in my footsteps, walking in the way of Papa with, listen, the only effort she had was to stay in the footsteps. Thus she balanced herself. You and I read our Bibles and we balance ourselves in the Word of God. But we walk with Christ in His steps. He compacted, put down everything that would trip us. He put down, He removed everything that would harm us. He goes ahead of us. We've walked with Him. We've got to be balanced in the Word. But we walk in His steps. It's still an effort, but nothing that is not doable with our God. He does it. It's very exciting. It's very wonderful. Which leads us to this, very similar. From beyond eternity, His light shines forth. What will happen to you when you die? Will you enter into the light, into the presence of God? It's an awesome thing to notice that before God ever created the sun and the moon, by the way, the Bible says, let there be light, right? God reveals Himself to His material universe, and before there was a sun and before there was a moon, there was the light of God emanating the opening throes of His creation before the sun is ever created. And I love it because in the book of Revelation, guess what? What begins in Genesis is answered in Revelation. The sun is no longer needed, nor the moon in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, because when the day of God begins eternity, there's no sun or moon in heaven in eternity. Did you know that? So, man, that's a drag. Oh, no, it's no drag. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light thereof. How cool is that? God's light. It's not only physical, but spiritual. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you believe that there's no God? The Bible says you're a fool. I didn't call you a fool. Don't come argue with me after service. God says, the Bible says you're a fool. And it's an amazing word in Hebrew because it means a person who looks at all the evidence and says, nope, nope, nope. Thus, God has the right to say, what a fool. You've got all the evidence and you don't believe. Romans 1:21. What happens to you when you die? Will you see the light of God or the darkness of hell? Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God or knew of God, they knew about God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile, empty, silly in their thoughts. Does that not describe our culture? And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's beautiful. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk with God in his light. What will happen to you? Watch. When you die, you will just go from this artificial lighting. I say the sun. I say these halogen bulbs in this sanctuary. We go from this world, artificial lighting. We walk right into the lighting of the very face of God. I can't wait. I mean, I will wait until that moment comes. But I'm excited about it. As I was putting this very point together this week, my phone rang and I got word that a friend of mine is not long in this world who loves the Lord, who's gonna see him face to face. And it was amazing because I made a point in my notes writing down these things. At this moment, my phone rang and news came that I have a brother that's about ready to go see Jesus. Can you say that? Do you believe that? Do you know that as a fact, not as a hope, but as an assured truth in your life?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a passage that really does boil down the gospel and makes it very easy to understand. What will happen to you when you die? That's the all-important question that serves as the title of this series within a series, which is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse study through 1 Corinthians. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series called What Will Happen to You When You Die is available in a 4-CD set if you'd like to get it. Maybe you've been challenged to explain the gospel in some real simple terms to someone, but you didn't know where to begin. Well, you can begin by reading 1 Corinthians 15, then you can listen to this 4-part series, What Will Happen to You When You Die, by Pastor Jack Hibbs. It'll also give you a greater appreciation for all that God the Son did and went through to save you. Now, here's the offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series called What Will Happen to You When You Die in a 4-CD set for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. I'll say that again. For your contribution of any amount, all of which is tax-deductible, to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 4-CD series, What Will Happen to You When You Die. Call, click, or write as soon as you can. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. I strongly suggest you get this 4-CD series. I think you're going to like it. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you could write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.